Welcome back to the voice of the private sector and the second hour of Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing.
At 3 minutes past 8 o'clock across Puget Sound, as we roll up our sleeves for hour number two here on Business Briefing. Glad you could join us. I want to thank our guests in hour number one, Stein Cruz, the president and CEO of Holland America Line. We also had Zillow on with the latest real estate numbers. And speaking of real estate, the market remains red hot in spite of the rising interest rates. The big question is there a bubble? We asked Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, are we seeing some froth in the market?
You know, Brian, there's a lot of conversation about whether or not there's a housing bubble. And, you know, let's see if we can analyze that for a minute. There's probably two or three markets in which you probably could say that prices have appreciated to the point or are outstripped basic fundamentals. You know, San Francisco area, maybe parts of Hawaii. It is really not a widespread phenomenon. Where it has occurred, it's occurred because either there's a high concentration of capital looking for assets, as in the San Francisco Bay Area, or it is a extremely desirable place to live. Other places, there's been rapid home appreciation because prices were so depressed, and prices are correcting. Overall, nationally, the value of homes are still below either rental or income equivalents to historical averages. So we still have significant upside. Now, people involved in the flipping market and expecting the price appreciation to continue at current levels may be being a little bit too optimistic. I do think that it will gradually slow down, but I do think that we'll be back above where we started within a couple of years.
Well, you mentioned the Bay Area, Hawaii, and we're seeing some big comebacks across the Southwest. Let's bring it closer to home now. Let's talk about our Northwest markets in Seattle and Portland. Let's start with Puget Sound. How are things looking across the region?
Well, pretty good. You know, we saw very strong price appreciation in the inner core areas of both the Seattle Puget Sound area and the Portland market. And this is a trend that always repeats itself. When you have a depression, you have some decline in prices. You will strengthen in the inner core area first, and then it radiates out gradually. Depending on the amount of new home construction and the ability to satisfy the increased demand, that price appreciation will vary. Both Portland and Seattle area are getting healthy. They're getting healthy at a fairly good rate. I don't see any oversupply of homes. I don't see anything that will change that that quality appreciation and prices for the next couple of years.
Patrick Stone, president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. You know, it's interesting, Pat, when you look at Washington and Oregon, numbers-wise, unemployment, obviously Seattle market really driving hard right now. I think unemployment under right around 6% across the state of Washington, much different across Oregon. A much more diversified economy, of course, in the Seattle market than the Portland market and Oregon as well. But you really see Puget Sound bouncing back a lot quicker than Oregon.
Well, that's because both the size and the amount of technology they have Seattle has many more large corporations, national corporations, than Portland does. It's just a bigger market. It's a significantly larger market, both on a general economic sense and also on a real estate sense. The Seattle market, also very trade-driven, but Portland is to an extent also. Both markets are doing fine. Both are growing. Both are in the top quintile nationally in terms of economic growth the last 3 or 4 years. Unemployment at national averages or below. I do think that, or at least expectations are that salary increases, wage increases, income increases will exceed the national averages in both markets. I've said for a while now that the Northwest is looking pretty good through about 2020.
That's good to hear. And I want to talk to you and wrap up the conversation. First-time home buyers, there was a story in the Wall Street Journal recently that, you know, they've missed out, and I would maybe disagree with that. Looks like the numbers are down a little bit traditionally. According to their report, first-time homebuyers make up 40% of the home purchase market. They pointed out that number has been 30 in this housing comeback. I wouldn't necessarily say they've missed out. What's your take on that?
Well, a couple of things happen here. Missed out's the wrong term. First-time homebuyers, a large percentage of first-time homebuyers are younger people. younger people are more impacted by economic downturns because they have not accumulated a lot of wealth. They don't have a lot of savings. People in middle age have a substantial amount more of disposable income saved, and they can make down payments. So if you have an economic recession, you're going to take the bottom or beginning part of the market away to a larger extent simply because you've taken younger people out of the market. So I think that is really more the issue than missing out on anything. I mean, house prices overall are still below value. They will come back. I think they'll come back into the market at normal levels once the economy stabilizes. One thing that's interesting to me, perception in the public is, I think 54% of the people still think we're in a recession. So unless you have accumulated assets, you have not enjoyed this recovery to the same degree.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that because the professionals I talk to across the Northwest, the general consensus seems to be from the business owners that they work with, that we work with, that you know, no numbers behind this, but just a feeling that things are getting better and they are improving. And we've talked about this on the show quite a bit. I guess it depends on your individual business circumstance, et cetera. But across the region, it seems like we are on solid footing now. I know it's not that exponential growth everybody wants, but it does feel like things have improved, especially in the past year, and it looks like we'll finish the year okay.
They have improved, Brian. Well, you know, one of the things that's really hard for people, a lot of people, to really get their head around is that this is not a even recovery. If you have assets, you have recovered now because, in part because of QE, as we talked about earlier, your assets have appreciated in value, be it a home or a stock. It has gone up significantly in value. If you do not have an asset, you have not participated to the same degree. Your net worth hasn't increased as much, and you have a different view of how the world turns. The general economic activity has been positive. I think it will continue to be positive. It is not going to skyrocket. If we get back up to 3% by third and fourth quarter next year, I'll be delighted, and I think most people will be delighted. It is not going to take off like a rocket ship, and the people that do not have assets have a longer time or a longer and tougher hill to climb than the rest of us in terms of feeling like they're participating in an economic recovery.
With Patrick Stone, Williston Financial Group, WFG National Title, I'm Brian Bushlack, and this is Business Briefing across Puget Sound and the Portland market. And, Pat, I want to close this by reflecting on what's happening overseas to put this in perspective. You mentioned, you know, 3 or 4% maybe by the end of next year as we enter 2015 would be a good place to be. Let's look at China and the slowdown, quote-unquote slowdown in China to what looks like it will be a 7.5% annualized GDP. That's pretty significant. That's, I believe, the slowest they've been growing in about two decades now. A lot of interesting things happening in China, and I don't think that the average Joe Sixpack in the U.S. realizes what an impact this has on U.S. businesses that export and have operations overseas.
Well, I think that's true, Brian. A couple things, and I don't mean to correct you, but there was, I think the first quarter of 2009, they were down below 7%. They had one quarter in there in the last 20 years where they didn't grow at that rate. But it has dropped from early 2010 when, you know, let me back up for a minute. After the bubble burst, the Chinese were very methodical in their stimulus program. They had a $500 billion stimulus program compared to our $850 billion stimulus program. But relative to the size of their economy, that was a lot more money. That was a very significant investment by the Chinese government in recovering their economy. Moreover, what they did is they focused that $500 billion on infrastructure, so it created a lot of jobs. Consequently, the Chinese economy went from, as a result of the recession or the bubble bursting, from about 6.5% up to 12% GDP. And then was held up as a model, and, you know, the Chinese are taking over the world, so forth and so on. Since then, it has been on a gradual decline, as you said earlier, 7.5%. And in all honesty, that's probably slightly inflated. The you know, you get a lot of debate over the accuracy of the data out of China. What's also happened during that period of time where we've seen, or in the last 10 years in China, is we've seen a much higher percentage of credit credit's almost doubled. You have a lot, you have empty cities. You have some issues as they try to transform that economy from an export economy to a consumption economy.
More with Patrick Stone when we come back on Business Briefing. We'll shift the spotlight to the national scene. That's up next after the break.